With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So your boyfriend invites you to this... Oh, shit. I got it mixed up. Okay. So your significant other invites you to this wedding, and it's on an island, and you're like, okay, fine. Let's go. Like, it'll be fine. But you're planning on proposing. Wait, I really fucking screwed this up. Okay. I got this whole scenario backwards. The point is that on the show Harper's Island.
Oh no, another Harper's Island?
Chloe wants to get off that island so she could start her life with Cal. But at every opportunity, he just keeps proving himself to be like a chivalrous hero, which ultimately keeps them on the island, you know, and spoiler alert, for the rest of their lives. Is that why we love Cal, or did he fuck up? What do you do?
Jesus Christ. This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
I think we took too long a hiatus.
Yeah, okay. What's crazy is that, like, you seemed fine last episode. Like, I don't know what happened between then and now.
The carbon monoxide builds in the closet as we record longer.
Oh, turn off the engine.
Yeah.
My laptop's powered by one of those...
by a generator.
Honda generator.
Yeah, yeah.
The putt-putts.
And you got to take tube out of there, Colin. We're not killing ourselves today.
Wait, what? So, okay.
I mean, yes.
What is the question?
I think the question is, do we love Cal because he's a hero? And do we love, is the thing that we love about him also what makes him fated to die?
And right. Killed both of them, basically.
Do we blame him for the tragic ending of Cal and Chloe? Or do we accept that the reason Chloe loved Cal, at least part of it, is that he's the guy who's like gives up his spot on the escape boat to help find the missing child? You know, like that sort of shit.
I think yes. I think that that's part of the cynicism of Harper's Island.
That the heroes are
that being a good person and being a hero is not what keeps you alive.
Mm. But also being a shit doesn't keep you alive. Nothing keeps you alive on Harper's Island.
No, death comes for us all. I don't blame victims. So
hot take.
Some hot take.
Wow.
I think that honestly the only person to blame is the murderer.
Wow. Wow, wow. All right. You heard it here first, people.
Okay, and where is Harper's Island been recently streaming?
Yes, I want to know this. Colin, oh, you had the news, right?
Yes, yeah. I broke the news to everyone in a text a while ago.
Yeah.
It's on, you can watch it on demand on Pluto.tv.
Very nice.
Not a sponsor.
Everyone's favorite streaming platform.
That's right.
Pluto.tv.
Dot TV.
I gotta say, you know what? Okay, so.
Is it like Crackle? Does it have ads?
It's like television. So it reminds me of digital cable, but with. Like, it's just playing. Like, if you go to Pluto.tv right now, it's just playing. It's on, with or without you.
What are you saying that it's streaming right now if we want to catch up? Like, do we have to tune in at a certain time?
He said it's on demand, too.
It also has on demand. It's like digital cable. Remember how that shit was just playing, even if your TV was off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's like when you start up Shudder, and there's, like, something playing.
Right.
Really? Shudder does that, too? I didn't even notice that.
Stupid.
You dumb.
Whoa.
Fucking dumb.
Okay, no, guys, do we need to start over?
No, this is perfect. This is okay. Such good show.
So your boyfriend proposes to you.
No, we all love Cal.
We all love Cal. It's sad that he died. It's sad that, you know, it's sad that everyone died on Harper's Island.
But that's sort of the point of the show.
I can't wait to go sign up for Pluto.tv.
You don't have to sign up. It's just on.
Wait, but then how do you do on demand?
You just you type in Harper's Island. It's got a little magnifying glass icon. Oh. You'll navigate it perfectly, I guarantee you.
Okay.
I like the idea of there being a like running like just channel that's just showing stuff, because like I know Netflix has that feature now where it just says play something, and
which
I don't
psychotic.
I don't trust that thing for a goddamn second.
No, because then I might be watching that fuck, what's that show? The clip's been going around on Twitter.
Ginny and Georgia.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's funny because like that clip has been going around Twitter, and then the clip that's at the beginning of the Netflix, like, because I let it you know, pause for a second on that thing on the Netflix.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So they just autoplay.
Which I hate, which is...
I hate it too.
I'm sure it helps them get people to stream stuff, which is what they want to be sticky, but I hate it.
I just want peace and quiet.
But the opening scene that they show, like, to entice us, is horrible. It's horrible. It's just a little kid, a kid being a jerk to her teacher and being really smug and self-righteous about it. I mean, she's talking about that the reading list doesn't include enough people of color. So like she has a point, but she delivers the point with such, it's like if Jess was the main character in Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
And it would be, that is what it's like. What if instead of raising a Rory, you raised a Jess?
For a second, I thought you were going to say it's as if Jess was the main character in New Girl. I'm like, oh, hot take from Mogi.
She's guess what,
that
guys?
Shit's the Schmidt She's show.
It's the Schmidt show, baby.
I'm a Ferguson guy myself.
Yeah, I mean, that show is trash.
I mean, I'm not even going to try it. Like,
no.
I watched all of Firefly Lane, and I'm not going to try it. So that says something.
Oh, you know, Mother texted me and said, you should check out Firefly Lane. It's our type of show. And I was like, and I didn't know what she was talking about because I'd never heard of it. And then I read the description and I was like, oh, I'm going to say I will never fucking watch this in my goddamn life.
It's not for you.
Yep. Here's the thing.
Well, Mother thinks it is. And she texts me like once a week to ask if I've watched it yet.
If you and your mom were like trapped in a house, it would be a show I think you could both stomach.
Wait, is this the 365?
What?
365 days, is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what you watch with your mother.
Yeah, that's what you watch with your mom.
The problem with like being like us and liking a lot of hot trash is people do not know how to recommend things.
They don't know what kind of trash you like, though. That's the problem.
It's really hard. It's like, oh, I could watch 7 hours of Billy on the Street if I watch an episode of Wheel of Fortune every third hour. Like, how do you recommend something for that?
Yeah.
It's very tough because, like, and I think it's partly is that we are very, we dig through pop culture to find the trash that we want.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's very rare that someone gives us a recommendation that, like, we weren't aware of or that we, like, just full out slept on.
Oh, right. Ryan.
Wow, Ryan's killing it right now, dude. Killing.
We're doing slept on chips, not for any particular reason.
Wait, so that was really for no reason? Is that really? Because I didn't see. So when you sent, okay, I just need like the listeners to know, like,
yeah, peel back the curtain.
The text thread, I did not see a pop culture reference connected. Because usually we try to connect things, and we'll be like, usually how it goes is someone, usually Patrick, will be like, these are the things that are like happening in pop culture on these dates that we're going to be releasing. And then people will then, and like, it's usually Ryan, yeah. Mm-hmm. will then pitch topics for those things. What is happening on the 12th?
Nothing. So I thought I had two pitches, and they both started with S for the mm-hmm. week before and the week after. So I was like, what's an S? Slept on.
Yeah, they're also like nice. They're all like compound words, like, because the first one is sitcom, and that's
a portmanteau.
This one, well, sure, okay, fine.
Guys, it's an abbreviation.
What?
We're all right. Okay,
okay. So then,
and,
slept
and next
on.
Week, next week is slow mo.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is also a portmanteau, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it is. Huh. More you learn.
So yeah, that was just my pitch, and I wanted to pitch something that was like general enough, because mm-hmm. you could take it literal. I mean, I feel like it's another cruise ships.
Oh, yeah.
We all sure. could have interpreted yeah. it differently.
Okay. Does anyone have a slept on ship they would like to share?
I got a slept on ship,
okay.
And I took it as this is a ship that I've been sleeping on, and I just need to address it.
Okay.
Do you guys remember, it was an episode months ago, I don't even remember when, but I brought up the ship between David and Jennifer from the 1983 movie War Games starring Matthew Broderick?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, there's a lot of sexual energy here, and like these kids are super cute and horny, and I just don't know if I ship it, and I have to think about it more and decide. I ship it.
All right.
There's no reason to wait a goddamn second longer. David and Jennifer from War Games, I ship it. She loves him. She just thinks he's so fucking cute. He's got things to learn about love language. You know, all he can communicate with her is like he's an acts of service guy. Mm-hmm. And she seems to be like a either QT or what is it? Words of
affirmation.
Yes. That mm-hmm. seems to be her love language. And so they're speaking to each other in their own love languages, but they're high school kids. They'll either get over that and like have a happy life or they won't and they'll break up. Like it's, you know, I can't ship this. I can't determine their whole lives for them, but no. I can ship them right now as they play thermonuclear war and a hacked PC and have adventures and change their grades and hang out with Matthew Broderick's weird dad who butters his corn with a slice of bread. It's a good ship. I'm on board.
Colin, I love this. I love you coming around on a ship that you were like, yeah, I think I might be into it. But now I just love
now
it.
You're all the way.
I'm yeah. in.
Yeah.
Do you think that he experiences other War Games-like scenarios later in his life? Or is this the only one?
Oh, that's, you know, does he reform? Does he, like, stop hacking and just, like, become a coder or something like that? Like, they move to Silicon Valley and he, like, joins
the app. Oh, he's a tech
bro,
yeah.
Yeah, he, like, joins the app space and some, maybe he develops a game called Thermonuclear War and, like, so kids can avoid this horrible mishap. So for people who haven't seen the movie, he hacks into what he thinks is a advanced computer game, and it turns out that he's actually trifling with real nuclear warheads. And then, you know, it's scary and fun. Good movie. So yeah. I don't know. I would like to see a world where he sort of steps back from his computers, though she's always been very supportive and, like, laughs and pretends to like computers, but I want to know more about her. It's an 80s movie, so we don't get to know as much about her personality. She likes to run. She seems to be an athlete.
She seems to be
an athlete. I feel like that is the 80s sometimes that is all you know about a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She like runs. Run. He likes computers.
She gets a bad grade, but she's morally opposed to changing it on the computer. But Matthew Broderick does it anyway. That's a love language thing I was kind of talking about. He was like, look, if I give her
an access service, and she's like, how about if you just hang out with me instead of your computer to show me you love me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's in your bedroom, bro. Yeah. But so they got work to do, but I want to see him do the work. I'm there for the ship.
I love it.
That's good. I like that.
Who else has got a sleep on it ship?
Slept upon.
Colin, you're doing
I'm
so good.
I'm bringing some real like fucking dumb boy energy today. I kind of like
it.
You
need to put like a little plant in your little
yeah, you
that
need
you're
some
sitting
oxygen.
In. You need some oxygen.
It's crazy because we did a whole episode that was like pretty normal.
Yeah, he used up all the oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now he's running on empty.
Weird. Okay, yeah. I think I picked the most slept on person in the world.
What?
Okay, I'm overstating it for effect, but
like a Rip Van Winkle ship?
But I think this is someone who was an action star in the 90s, who kind of disappeared for a while. There's been a bit of a renaissance, so I think we're all waking up from sleeping on him. And of course, I'm talking about Brendan Fraser.
Yay!
Here we go, baby.
And I think in our little, in the STS corner of the world, he's not been slept on. We celebrate him often.
Forever.
But I feel like in the world, we got to celebrate him more. And currently, he's in the show Doom Patrol, which I think Doom Patrol, the show, is slept on.
I love that show. Really it's so good. Fucking good.
If you
it's
have
so
HBO,
fucking good.
If you have HBO Max, check it out. It's worth it. And so I had to go with his character, Cliff Steele, Robot Man. And I was like, who do I ship? I don't think there's an in-show ship for me, romantic-wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, he's kind of he's a fucked up robot. He has a very soft center, but he's a big grump on the outside. So it would have to be somebody who could like deal with a cantankerous person.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's deep on the inside too.
It's pretty deep, unless you are a daughter figure to him, and then all of a sudden his gooiness just like he can't control it.
Right.
And I have a girl who is a daughter, a Shun daughter, and she could probably help him upgrade his robot suit because she has an android body. Nebula and Cliff Steele.
Okay.
Wow.
Interesting.
Very interested in this.
Like,
wow.
It would not be a super sappy relationship. And they both have other things to do, so they're not playing house together.
Mm-hmm.
But she shows up and she'll like think of things to help upgrade his robot Ugh. Body.
Can I tell you what I'm worried about with this?
Yeah.
Is that Nebula is able to upgrade him too effectively.
Uh-oh.
And he like has all the, like the feeling of his body back and has all of his like mobility and like ability to, you know, do all the things he used to do as a human, and he just reverts to being this like irredeemable asshole.
And then he has a moment of clarity where he realizes that's why, and he kisses Nebula goodbye and goes back to his old suit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The limitations of his robot body like force his hand in a lot of his character development. Oh.
I am weeping thinking about this.
It's really good. It's really good.
It's really
Moby.
Good.
Well, as soon as Disney buys Warner Brothers, we can have it.
Oh, so like next month?
In the meantime, AO3.
Yes.
That's good, Ryan. I like
Thank
that.
You. Are you sleeping on a ship?
Yeah. So my slept on ship is something that the source material sleeps on through the majority of it until like the very end. And then it's like, oh, no, wait, there's something here. So I've been reading the Star Wars High Republic books, which is like the new like Star Wars publishing initiative. It's all 200 years before the prequels. So it's like a bunch of Jedis and they're the Republic is setting up this space station called Starlight Beacon out in the Outer Rim to try and like not colonize other worlds, but like make their resources available to worlds that aren't yet part of the Republic. And I'm shipping Avar Chris and Elzar Mann, who are both Jedi Masters. Elzar Mann achieves the rank of Jedi Master throughout the course of the book, The Light of the Jedi. But Avar Chris is this Jedi who has the ability to like connect other Force users. So like she can channel other Force users' powers. And so like that's her whole thing is like connection and like reaching out to people and understanding them where they are and like directing their energy towards like positive works together. And Elzar Mann is like a Force chaos agent. Like he views the Force as an endless ocean that you can draw from indefinitely and accomplish anything, but is like does so through like unconventional means. And so like the whole time that this whole book is they're like averting or trying to avert this disaster in a system and fight these new bad guys called the Nile. They're like teamed up, but like the book, you know, is like, but everyone is Jedi, so no one fucks.
I was about to be like species spicy, and then I remembered what this was.
Right. But so there at the very end of the book, they're at the dedication ceremony for Starlight Beacon, which, you know, the huge space station. And it has this garden that represents, you know, different biomes from all around the galaxy. And it's just the two of them there. And she's like, so I'm going to stay here on Starlight Beacon and like be the Jedi in charge of it. And he's like, well, I'm going to go back to Coruscant and I'm going to like investigate what we know about our new enemy. And then they like have a moment where it's like, why weren't you fuckers having this moment the whole time? Because it's like, you can tell that they have been having the moment the whole time, right? But like the book was not interested in expressing those moments.
When this becomes a TV show, it's going to be like,
oh my God,
all over the, we won't be able to escape it.
It's going to be longing looks left and right. I just wanted them to like get nasty in this garden and like they don't. They like hold hands for a second and then like get faces close and then like he leaves. And I'm like, come the fuck on,
Patrick.
Give me a fucking break. Why don't they have sex in those? I mean, I get it, right? I mean, the Jedi thing. But like,
Patrick, I want you to write two novels titled Everyone is Jedi, So Nobody Fucks, and the second being Get Nasty in This Garden. And it corrects everything that the Star Wars universe is withholding from you right now.
Oh my God. If there was a story that was about like a group of Jedi who splintered off because they want to fuck.
Oh my God, fuck Jedi?
Oh my God.
Do the Sith just fuck?
I think maybe that's it. I think they're Sith.
Okay, you've seen, and is that what happens to you? You just get drained and become like,
well, what if you're just I don't want to be evil. I just want to like be able to have sex.
I feel like they'd be like hippies. I feel like they'd also have beards and stuff.
So that is one of the, like, nobody fucks is not like a super hard and fast rule at the time of the High Republic stuff, that they're, you know, they're not supposed to have attachment, but it doesn't mean that there aren't like relationships that form between people. There's in the Into the Dark, which is like the YA book that came out in this first wave of these novels. Mm-hmm. There's a non-Jedi character who asks a Jedi like, so do you guys have sex? And he's like, this is Affy asking Reeth Silas, and Reeth, who is a Padawan who kicks ass. He's awesome. I love him so much. But he has this like whole internal like thing where he's like justifying what the Jedi do, what they don't do, what they've been known to do historically, what he plans to do someday. And then is like, mostly we don't have sex. So like, it's
okay,
out.
So
there.
Sometimes
it's out
there. They do.
Sometimes they do.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, I hope they get to fuck Patrick.
Me too.
For all of our sake.
Me
really.
Too.
I feel like it's gonna be a long road though, now that they're on different planets.
Can't they like force fuck or something?
I would hope they would force fuck.
At least, at the very least.
Here's the thing. There are a lot of like cool women writing the new Star Wars books that are going to drive these characters to fucking each other. The first book is written by Charles Soule, who I love, but like is square when it comes to romance. So like, you know, let's get Claudia Gray or Justina Ireland in there and like write these Jedi fucking. I'm into it.
And by setting it 200 years before prequels, it's like, it's not going to mess with anybody else's bullshit.
No.
Yeah, nobody cares. It's
fine. Don't worry about it.
Also, they can, look, they can fuck in secret and like it doesn't have to ruin the Jedi Order or whatever. It's fine.
It's called compartmentalizing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Kelly, do you have a slept on ship?
I do. Okay, so I interpreted this. It's from, I thought of like movies that are slept on. And I feel like no one ever really talks about this movie, perhaps because there are a couple of like moments in the movie that I'll mention. Have any of you guys seen the movie The Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
So I believe this was Jodie Foster in, I think, 78.
Oh, wow.
So early, around the time of Taxi Driver.
Okay.
But her character is a complete opposite of that character. It's basically this 13, 14-year-old girl is living in this house, and it's pretty obvious that, like, her dad is dead, but she's just trying to pretend that he's always busy or whatever because she doesn't want to be taken into, like, the system.
Yeah.
So every time – so she's in this small coastal Maine town, and she lives in this big house, and there's – it's just constantly, like, these adults are trying to come into her life and, like, control her, and she's very, like – no nonsense, takes care of herself, takes care of everything, and is also like trying to keep secret that her dad is dead. And it's on Hulu. Now, the thing with this movie is that she's like 13 or 14, and there is a nudity scene.
Oh,
it's not her actual body. They used a body double. But it is kind of like, I can see why people are like, that's kind of icky.
Yeah.
So I get why people are like that. I don't want to see that.
Is it a sexual nudity scene?
She gets into bed with a boy her age.
Okay.
They don't do anything. They're just like they're in bed. We never see them do. I don't even know if we see them kiss. I think maybe we see them kiss once. But it is gratuitous. And I think that image doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, it's nothing worse than like Romeo and Juliet, that one where we see her actual tits and. That was
well,
the real
and that
actress.
One's like fairly sexual, like
yeah, that one's sexual, and yeah. It's the real actress. This yeah. is not someone of age. So in this movie, she is at first she's like very like I don't need any help. I'm not going to let anybody in because it's very dangerous. That like if anyone finds out, there's this nitpicky like manager of the house that they've rented out that keeps coming into the house and trying to fucking. Figure out where the dad is. Figure out what's going on with her.
The Mr. Roper of the situation.
Well, yeah. But she's this lady and her son. Mrs. Roper. But her son is played by Martin Sheen. And this is one of his first roles. And he is a fucking child molester. Like, he is, like, so – he's trying to, like, you know, take advantage. He wants to, like, weasel his way in with her.
Oh, gross.
So he's very gross in it. Don't worry, he gets his comeuppance in a really cool scene. But the, I guess this is spoilers for the movie. If you don't want to hear spoilers, then like skip ahead. But she meets this kid who's this like magician, and he's also like kind of an outsider. But he's been living in the town this whole time, whereas she's new. So he eventually finds out because about her situation because. She's so the manager lady comes in and is like bugging her. And she's like, I need these jelly jars from in the cellar. And Jodie Foster's like, do not go in the cellar. And you're like, oh, shit, something's in the cellar.
Oh, no.
Lady goes into the cellar, screams. We don't see what's in there. Actually, throughout the entire movie, you never see what's in the cellar.
Oh, God.
She screams, runs out of the cellar, accidentally knocks the stick that's holding the cellar door open. The cellar falls down on her head. She dies, falls in the cellar. So Jodie Foster's like, fuck, I now have this dead lady in my house. What am I going to fucking do? Her car is at my house. Mm. What am I going to do?
Is this the comeuppance for Martin Sheen that his mother got murdered?
No, the comeuppance for Martin Sheen is that he gets killed by her, which is great. At the very end, he's like got her trapped and she offers to make him tea. Mm-hmm. And she poisons her own cup of tea. And he's like watching her and she's being very standoffish. And she keeps pretending that she really wants him to take the other one. And she's such a good actor. She's such a good actor. She's like, she's just like being very like, she's like, okay, I'm ready to drink the tea. And he's like, well, why'd you put more milk in yours and less milk in mine? And she's like, I just like the taste. And he's like, well, I think I want some of yours. And she's like, no, no, I like mine. And he's like, well, why aren't you drinking it? And she's like, it's too hot. And he's like, okay. And he switches it and drinks hers. Mm-hmm. And the whole time we know that which cup has the poison. Yeah,
that's really
and,
good.
And you're like, is he going to do it? Like, it's he keeps like getting so close and then not taking it. And it's a very patient movie.
Yeah.
And so he finally does and then dies of being poisoned.
Amazing.
But so that's she meets this kid and he's like this weird magician kid. He's like very into magic.
The Gathering?
I wish. No.
Patrick was so excited. For just a
sleight of hand, unfortunately. Yeah. And he wears this cape and he like rides around on this bike. Anyway, he sees her trying to figure out how to move this car. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what's going on? She's like, I just need to move this car. And she keeps flooding the engine.
Yeah.
And he knows a little bit about cars. So he's like, well, and she's like, can you please move it for me? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, please. And he's like, I have to go do magic at this birthday party. But
That sounds right.
But I got to go. And I don't know if I'm going to help you. And she's like, you'll come back, though. And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, you promise? And he's like, I can't. And then he rides away. And then he shows up. And he's like, okay, I'll help you move it. And he helps her move the car. And eventually he's like, okay, well, you got to tell me, like, what's going on. And so she eventually shows him what's in the cellar. Oh, we, again, don't see it. And he's like, shit. Okay. And then – so then we find out that her dad had died – a while ago, then her mom showed up and tried to take her away. But her mom is like evil. And all she knew was that her dad was like, if your mom comes, put this powder in her tea. It'll calm her down. But it ends up killing the mom. So she puts the mom in the basement.
Oh, no.
So she accidentally kills her mom.
She accidentally kills her own mom. So she puts the mom in the cellar, too. So dad and mom are in the cellar. Dead landlady's in the cellar.
Oh, my God.
So she doesn't know what to do. And so he like offers to help her. He helps like bury the bodies. He's doing it in the rain, so then he ends up getting pneumonia.
Oh,
and like
geez.
He just like does all this shit for her. He actually bounces back and is okay. But there's this really adorable scene, and it's actually kind of scary, but it's also sweet how it ends up. So they're having a little steak dinner, and I know I'm like talking so long about this. Okay,
I love this.
No, so
this
they're having a little steak dinner.
I'm
she cooks this
for
little
my visual. I'm picturing the chicken nugget dinner from eighth grade.
It's very cute. She has this whole dinner, and I mean, just like their banter is really cute. Like she's wearing this like weird, like not weird. It's very pretty and interesting robe. The whole time. And he's like, oh, that's a cool robe. Where'd you get it? And she's like, oh, Morocco. He's like, oh, you smoke a lot of hash there? And she's like, yep. And then he's like, oh, are you smoking some now? And she's like, yep. And then she's like, I'm kidding. I never did. But it's like very cute. Like they're just their interactions are cute. So she presents this like steak dinner and he's like trying to cut it. Oh, he also has, some kind of, physical, disability where he's not he uses a cane to walk and he like some things are like more difficult for him. Mm-hmm. And so he's having trouble cutting the steak, and she sees that, so then she just picks up the steak and starts eating it with her hands, and then he sees her do that, so he does it. It's really cute. So anyway, they're having their little dinner. Fucking Martin Sheen shows
up.
Of
course he does.
And he's like, oh, I'm looking for my mom. And she's
that's kind of fair, actually.
Yeah, that is fair.
Yeah. And she's like, well, he's not here.
He still
she's
has
not here.
To give 24 hours notice to enter the premises.
Right.
She is dead in the cellar, though. I mean,
she is dead in the cellar.
He's got to leave a little note on the door.
But the whole time he's a chimo, so he should not be going in there. So he's like.
These are all fair observations. Yeah.
So he's like bugging her, and he's like, oh, you have this boyfriend, huh? Like, what's the deal with that? And he starts like trying to like get in her business and like get close to her, and she's like, get away from me. And so then the boy, his name is Mario and she's Rin. So Mario jumps up and like tries to block, and then he throws Mario across the room. And also, like, Mario's a kid too, like, they're both young, and he's like making fun of Mario. And he's like, oh, why don't you get out of here, stupid magician, whatever. And he, like, throws the cape at Mario and his cane. And it's like a magician cane type look. And he's like, get out of here. And so Mario starts to leave. And he's, like, gonna maybe leave this guy that he cannot overpower with Rin. And so he's like, walking to the door using his cane, and then out of his cane he pulls a little sword, and he like points it at Martin Sheen, and he's like, get the fuck out of here, leave us alone. And then Martin like gets scared and runs away.
Whoa.
But it's really I don't know, I liked their relationship a lot. Like, I liked that there was no time wasted with him being like, I don't know if I should trust you. There is a funny moment where when she's talking about the tea that she served her mom and how it tasted like almonds because it had arsenic in it, he's drinking tea at the time, and he's like, so what is and then he's like, why aren't you drinking your tea? And he starts like coughing because he's like freaking out. She's like, oh, it's too hot. And he's like, oh, okay. And then she takes a sip and he's like, oh. And she's like, what? And he's like, nothing. It's really cute. I mean, for a movie about like a predator and like murders and like all that, I think their relationship is really cute. And I like the thesis of it, which is like, you cannot trust any adults, even if they seem nice, because there's this cop that like seems nice. But then it turns out you find out that like he knows that guy's a child molester and like doesn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So it's like very like you cannot trust these adults because none of them, they're only self-serving and they just want to keep the veneer of like a nice town. And like really, you can only trust other kids. Which I don't know. It's a really good movie. I really, really recommend it. The only part kind of icky being that there's a nude scene with her, but it's a body tuple, but still it's we don't need it. But I love it. I love it.
No, that was like perfectly slept on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one talks about it too.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever even heard of it.
It was considered like too controversial back then, but it's so funny because like when you read about like why people thought it was controversial, it's like, oh, that's like when people thought The Exorcist was like evil, you know, where you're like, oh, but stuff now like Euphoria is like they were like, well, because it talked about child molestation, and it's like, well,
yeah, children were getting molested.
We should talk about it.
It didn't get invented later.
Yeah, I'd rather see it happen and then see the guy get poisoned and like talk about like how we shouldn't trust people that let this shit happen.
Did you ever watch that movie Nebraska?
Yeah, no. I love that movie.
With I think it's a Terrence Malick movie.
I think that's right.
But it's Martin Sheen and Sissy Spacek. Am I saying the right name? Sorry. Sometimes words don't sound right when they come out of my mouth.
I think it's Sissy Spacek.
Yeah. And Martin Sheen. It's plays like they kind of go in a Bonnie and Clyde situation, but it is like he's out of I think he went to war and then she's like 16, so there's like an age difference, and he's a creep. But it's just funny because Martin Sheen, when someone says Martin Sheen, I picture Jed Bartlett from West Wing. So I always think of like a very like kind of square but like stand up guy who's gonna, you know, whatever. But Heap was a creep. He could play a creep really, really well in his young days.
There is an opening scene. The opening scene in this movie is him and her. He comes to the house. She's alone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it so sets the tone for like what this movie is, and like every single move by everybody, like you can tell who these characters are, what this story is going to be like. So there's a knock on the door. It's Halloween night. Mm-hmm. There's a knock on the door. She's got these candles, this birthday cake out, and she like looks to the door. She gets out a pack of cigarettes, lights up the cigarette, just starts puffing like crazy to get the smell in the air, puts out the cigarette, opens the door. Martin Sheen like slithers in, and he's like, "Oh, where's your dad? You're alone in here." And he's like, "Oh, it's your birthday. How old are you turning?" And you can tell that he like wants her to be young.
Ugh.
Yeah, and she's like, "Okay, so." He's like, "My kids are coming. My sons. Yeah, they're coming. One's dressed up like a skeleton, and one's dressed up like a like something else, a Frankenstein or something." And he's like, "So would you have any treats for them?" And she's like, "Here, they can have a slice of this cake." And when she gives him the slices of cake, he like touches her wrists and she like shoves him away. And just the way, like the moment that he realizes, like it's that thing, like it's just such a good characterization where like, you know, she is like, get the fuck away from me. Mm-hmm. Like I have all of this under control and you are fucking my shit up. And then he like the moment that he does that and he like throws himself backwards and you can tell that this character did not expect, like, you know how like child molesters, like they don't expect that they'll go that far and then they do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's freaked out and he's like, shit, I'm in trouble because like she's going to fucking tell her dad and like all this stuff. So he like runs out with the cake. I mean, it's just like it's a very high tension scene, but I really love the movie.
It sounds really like patient and subtle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just the scenes with the kids is so cute. I don't know.
Ryan,
I really liked it.
Ryan, were you talking about Badlands?
I was talking about Badlands. It's based on the album Nebraska by Bruce Springsteen.
Yes. I was confused as well because I was thinking of the Bruce Dern, Will Forte, Nebraska.
Yes, sorry. It's called Badlands.
Badlands? Okay. I'm putting that down on my list.
Yeah, it's very moody.
Uh-huh.
But it's got good young creepy Martin Sheen and Sissy Spacek. I mean, they do go on like a murder spree, so it's dark as fuck.
So it's a mood, is what you're saying.
It's a mood, but it's like it's a quality film. But if you want more dark Martin Sheen, that might be the way to go.
Yeah.
Colin, do we have a question that we can answer?
Yes. This question came to us via our email.
You can email us at shippledipshow@gmail.com. Is that right? That's right.
that is correct. Yeah. Yes. This comes from Juniper. Juniper writes, "Hello, shipmates. Greeting from rural Oregon." Oh, and I should disclaimer, this is from like 6 months ago.
Okay.
We're not all on fire or racist, as you might think. Remember like 6 months ago when Oregon was on fire? Okay, yeah.
And racist, yeah.
I don't know if that part's changed.
Yeah.
Well, they're not all racist.
That's right, that's right. Well, Juniper has set us straight. They are not on fire. They are not all racist. My best friend and my smallest dog both had casts on a leg. I was responsible for one of them and had checkups scheduled in the next town over. We decided to carpool and her grown son came with us. She thought her appointment was 9:15 a.m., but it was actually 3:15 p.m. and she didn't have gas to go the 40-mile round trip home and come back later. So we stayed in town, played Pokemon, ran errands to pass the time. Her appointment was for cast removal, so we didn't go home again until like 5 p.m. It was very rational and not horrible time, but I'm never riding with her again. Stay healthy and don't accept rides from friends. There's no question. There's no question, Juniper.
We can react to it. I think yes. Sometimes you're a good friend. You're totally a good friend.
I want to know what's going on with this grown son. Am I right?
Oh,
what's
man.
His,
this
what's
is
his
a,
deal?
Is this a, what's it called? Martin
Sheen.
Ahead,
Shelly.
That's right. I'm like a reverse. I'm a reverse pedophile where I like adults.
older the better, baby. No, like, so how old are you? 89?
Ooh.
Nice.
Wait, Colin.
I gotta go.
Can we go back to the beginning of the email? Because she says that her dog and her friend are both in casts, and she's responsible for one of them.
She's responsible for the dog.
Yeah.
No, but
I think she doesn't mean she broke the leg. I think it means she...
But what if she did, though, and she owes her friend this day of, like, spending time with her?
She's like, I would never break the leg of an animal, just my best friend.
There you go. She broke her friend's leg, and then when this appointment got fucked up, she was like, shit, I deserve this.
Here's the other part, though, and I think it's quarantine brain that's making me feel this way, but, like, I would love to hang out with you guys all day with nothing to do and just, like, play Pokemon and shoot the shit. Maybe we go get ice cream and walk around eating ice cream. Like, okay, I would love to have that extra 6 hours.
Oh my God, going into a little secondhand store where everything's like way too expensive and you just like touch all the stuff.
Of course.
And then you're like, wow, that place was bullshit. And then with your friend when you leave.
Yes.
Oh my God. Mogi, that reminds me. Remember when we went to that way too expensive store in Arrowhead and we tried on the hats that were made out of carpet?
They were amazing.
I think about that carpet hat every day. Did you guys bring your Pokemon decks? Did you find a card shop and just buy starter packs because you were in desperate need?
I think maybe they played Pokemon Go.
It just says Pokemon.
Oh, well, maybe they played, or were they playing like Pokemon Red?
Yeah, like maybe they brought their Game Boys with them.
Look, we got a lot of questions, Juniper.
Right back in.
for somebody who gave us no questions, we have many questions.
Right back in, we'll get back to you in August with an answer. Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.